Up and Vanish Weekly is released every Wednesday and brought to you absolutely free. But for 1 week early access and ad-free listening, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts. If you're already a subscriber, thank you for your support.
This podcast discusses mature and sensitive content, including descriptions of violence that may be triggering for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Up and Vanish Weekly. I'm Maggie Freeling. Many of the cases we cover on this show involve strange circumstances which shroud a disappearance or unsolved death. And the lack of information about someone's final moments only adds to the confusion. Today's case is a prime example of that. One evening in May of 2016, Bianca Carrasco disappeared from her San Antonio home. For nearly a decade, authorities have been trying to piece together a timeline of Bianca's final moments. And while some details are clear, others are not. And her loved ones are desperate for answers. But Bianca's case also highlights another common issue we've seen. In the years since her disappearance, her case has had very little coverage. But a very good friend of mine has looked into Bianca's case. So today I'm joined by Daisy Egan, a seasoned true crime storyteller and also a Tony winner. But you're the youngest Tony winner ever, Daisy?
Youngest female, yeah.
Female Tony winner, incredible. And just all around badass. Daisy, thank you for joining me to talk about the complexities about Bianca's case.
I'm happy to highlight this case because it's unknown pretty much.
So you covered it on your podcast, Strange and Unexplained, mm-hmm. One of my favorites. I'm sure many listeners are familiar. But what makes her case strange and unexplained? Why was this something that you thought you should cover on your podcast?
Well, I'd never heard of her. And I was at the Denver True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Convention, and her family had a table dedicated to her. And basically, all of the information that I got was from their Facebook, you know, their efforts to get the information out, and a few smatterings of articles. There's barely anything out there. You know, for whatever reason, her case was not covered as extensively as some other women's cases might have been.
So you met the family, I think specifically you met Giovanna, mm-hmm. Bianca's sister, and you stayed in touch with her to kind of work on this case.
Yeah, I don't usually reach out to family members of cases, but there was so little information about this case out in the general public. And also they've made themselves very, very available through their Linktree and their Facebook page. I reached out to her with questions and she was very, very helpful.
We are going to talk about everything. Let's dive into it. Let's rewind to that night in May 2016 when Bianca was last seen and piece together the events leading up to her tragic disappearance.
It's the evening of Sunday, May 1st, 2016, in San Antonio, Texas. For most area residents, it was another ordinary summer night. But for the loved ones of Bianca Carrasco, a 29-year-old nurse and mother of three young children, it would be a night full of unanswered questions. The evening started in seemingly regular fashion. Bianca came home from work, put her kids to bed, sent a text, and made a phone call. At some point, it's believed she left her house to go for a walk, leaving behind her phone. Sometime later, her husband Daniel left the residence, heading to a job site in Odessa, nearly 5 hours away. He would later tell authorities that as he was leaving, he drove past his wife while she was walking, assuming she was heading back to their residence. But tragically, Bianca never made it home, and her unexplained disappearance has left loved ones desperately seeking answers. In the aftermath, Those close to her recalled candid conversations she'd had in the days before she vanished, and an alarming remark she had allegedly made.
If I go missing, you know what happened to me.
Nearly a decade later, little is known about Bianca's final moments, leaving many to speculate whether her off-the-cuff comment may have actually been a plea for help.
From Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta, I'm Payne Lindsay.
And I'm Maggie Freeling.
And you're listening to Up and Vanished Weekly.
So from speaking with Giovanna, what have you found out about the kind of person Bianca is? What do we know about her?
Well, I mean, first of all, we know that she was a nurse. And like, nurses tend to be pretty compassionate, pretty gentle and loving. And she was. And her sister said that that's what made her a wonderful nurse. And as far as we can tell, she had, you know, a lot of friends at work, people who cared about her. She was described as funny and loving. She loved her kids. She loved having kids. She loved being a mother, which is, again, you know, makes it even less likely that she just walked out on her life.
So her and Daniel had an interesting relationship, and the way they met was particularly unique. Daniel was actually married to Bianca's aunt in the years leading up to their relationship. Do we know more about that?
There's not a lot of information about that. There's not a lot of information about her from before all of this. So when they got married, Daniel was 29 and Bianca was only 18. Listen, to each their own. Everybody does life differently, but I find that spread problematic. And they ended up having three kids together. They moved to San Antonio from Odessa, Texas. She had graduated as a registered nurse in 2015, and she got a job at an oncologist's office with three kids.
Yeah, one of the things that you said in your episode was just everything she was balancing, right? At 29, she's got three kids. She's a nurse at an oncologist's office. She's got a husband. Mm-hmm. She's balancing a lot.
Yeah, it's admirable.
So her relationship with Daniel actually wound up being pretty strained.
You know, some people say that their relationship was rocky from the start. Others say that it turned rocky, you know, the more it went on. Daniel would frequently share their troubles with family members. And we don't know a lot about Daniel's family. I think that he was sharing it with sort of Bianca's family, which is weird. Again, I don't know about the other side of the family. Bianca was estranged from her mother, Barbara.
Okay.
And again, I don't know why. I don't know what the falling out was about, but they hadn't spoken in about 5 years. And things were rocky enough between Daniel and Bianca that she sort of joked to some of her coworkers that if she went missing or if she was killed, they would know what happened. And just like PSA, if anybody ever says that to you, like, dig in a little bit and take it seriously, because I don't think you should be saying something like that about a spouse unless you're truly worried.
Bianca actually decides she wants to get a divorce from Daniel. So this was something that was actively happening.
She was dating somebody else, and she did make her Facebook status divorced before she actually was. Which is also interesting, but, you know, I don't know. People are weird with social media. People like to use it as sort of like a way to air grievances.
So her sister, Giovanna, would speak with her multiple times a week. You know, frequently she would speak to her leading up to her disappearance. So she was well aware of everything going on. And then she doesn't hear from Bianca. So this is really what sets off that she is missing.
According to Bianca's family, nothing seemed particularly out of the ordinary that fateful day in May. Around 2 p.m., she spoke with her sister, Giovanna, sounding calm despite the tense reality of her ongoing divorce. Giovanna offered to pick up the kids, give them a break from the stress at home, but Bianca reassured her that that wasn't necessary. Still, Bianca confided that something felt off. She'd made up her mind about a divorce lawyer, she said. Daniel Carrasco reported that as night fell, tensions between he and his wife escalated into an argument. He watched as Bianca, still fuming, left their home, heading down the dark street alone. By 10:22 p.m., Bianca's phone, her lifeline to those closest to her, was turned off. The next day, Bianca failed to show up for work, something out of character for a nurse like Bianca, who'd always prioritized the care of her patients. As the hours ticked by, her sister, Giovanna Burney, grew increasingly anxious. She reached for her phone, dialing Bianca's number repeatedly, but each call met with the same disheartening outcome. Voicemail. No word, no response. Something was off. Concerned, Giovanna texted Daniel, hoping for any news. Yet, Daniel was disturbingly quiet. The lack of response only deepened her unease. By 4 p.m., Giovanna picked up the phone again, this time dialing Daniel directly. Their conversation was perplexing. She walked away from the house, Daniel said, a statement that sent alarm bells ringing in Giovanna's mind. The following morning, with no news and no sign of Bianca, Giovanna made the call that would set everything in motion. She reached out to the Houston Police Department, desperate for help and desperate for answers.
We'll be back after the break. And now here's John with this week's critical missing case.
Today's case comes to us from Namus. Authorities are searching for a woman last known to be near the Nashville, Tennessee area a few weeks ago. According to the report, on Monday, August 25th, 40-year-old Casey Ray Brooks left the Chicago area after her father sent her a bus ticket to Bloomington, Illinois. It's believed that Casey took the wrong bus and ended up in the Nashville area, eventually making it to nearby Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is the last time she spoke with a friend. Casey has not been seen or heard from since. Casey is described as being 5'7", with a weight of 200 pounds. She has brown hair and green eyes. She also has pierced ears and nose, and tattoos on her left forearm, her left arm, left shoulder, and her right shoulder. Listeners, we need your help in spreading the word about Casey Brooks. You can check out the Up and Vanish Weekly Instagram page, at UAV Weekly, to see a picture of Casey and to share our post for more visibility. And lastly, if you have any information about Casey's whereabouts, you're asked to contact the Murfreesboro Police Department at 615-893-1311.
All right, we're back. So it's obvious that Bianca and Daniel were arguing leading up to her disappearance. And Bianca was in contact with her sister Giovanna that day. Daisy, do we know the last thing she might have said to her?
Bianca texts her sister. This would be the night of May 1st. She texted, "Daniel emptied the account and opened another account without my name on it, so I have no access to money except my credit card, which is almost at the limit. I will not be controlled by a man and money."
That's her last text?
I believe that was her last text to her sister. You know, it's hard in this case because we don't have a lot of corroborating evidence. Maybe it's not true, but I don't know why she would have lied about that. And for a husband to leave a wife at home with three kids without access to money, I mean, what if there's an emergency? What if they run out of diapers? Like, there's just a lot of reasons why you wouldn't do that. She had a conversation with her sister on the phone. Her sister Giovanna said she was very calm and she had a plan of action about leaving. And after that, she was out and about doing errands. She kept in touch via text, I believe, with one of her children. She came home around 8 p.m. and put her kids to bed. she sent a text and called a man she was seeing. We don't have, you know, we don't know what those said. And that's the last phone activity for her. The next thing that we know is from Daniel. That evening, they had a fight, and Bianca walked out of her home without her phone. She just walked out.
And where does he say she's going?
He doesn't. You know, according to him, she just needed to walk it off. So I don't know if that's like around the block or what, but I would also say that, like, as someone who has a sister, you know, who I keep in touch with fairly regularly, like, if I had a fight with my partner and I needed to go walk it off, I'd probably take my phone and call her, you know? In this day and age, it's rare to hear that somebody just leaves a house with nothing on them.
Right. When does this become an issue? When do people realize she's missing?
So the next day, her sister's trying to reach her, like, as per usual, and she's not hearing from her. So Giovanna was instantly alarmed when she couldn't reach her sister because Bianca was never unresponsive. She contacted Bianca's job and found out that she hadn't come to work and hadn't called in, which was incredibly out of character for her. By 4 p.m., she calls Daniel, and he's been unresponsive to her texts throughout the day. And when he finally answers, he just says, oh, yeah, we had a fight and she left.
So where are the kids at this point? Like she is a mother of three. Where are these children?
The evening of May 1st, allegedly after Bianca walks out of the house, he leaves for work, leaving the two older children home, and they're like 9 and 10 years old, and taking the 4-year-old with him. His work site was a 5-hour drive away.
In oil fields.
So if he went to work, he took his 4-year-old child with him and drove 5 hours, then went to work, assumably for a full shift, and then drove home 5 hours, leaving the other two kids there the whole time.
But you mentioned in your episode that your communication with Giovanna, this actually came up. What did she say?
Giovanna said in the email to me, Daniel works and has worked in the oil fields in West Texas, 5 hours from their home in San Antonio. At the time, he did not have a job in place. It makes no sense. And this is the case sort of more than any other that I've covered where I've really been like, okay, I feel like I want to get the files, like do a FOIA and try to get the records and really find out.
How did he act after all of this? Did he look for her?
No, he did not participate in the searches. He mostly had his lawyer speak for him, who was like, yeah, we're all worried, you know, but she walked away and like, we hope that she's okay. It seems to me that if I were the spouse of somebody who just left, even if we were fighting, well, I would do everything I could to find them.
So Daniel, he refused a polygraph, which, as you and I know, and most listeners know, polygraphs are trash. They don't mean anything. I would probably refuse a polygraph. But this is something that, you know, makes police kind of suspicious.
The other thing, too, is that as far as we know, like, there's no record of him trying to call her. He didn't call anybody else. He didn't call anybody in the family to be like, hey, Bianca just walked out. I have to go to work. Like, can somebody come watch the kids? And then shortly after she went missing, he took the kids and moved back to the Odessa area. Again, like, I don't know. What if she got snatched up and trafficked, right? Like, let's just say that was a thing that happened.
Right. Let's say he has nothing to do with this.
Right. Let's say she just has the incredible misfortune to leave the house with nothing on her at the very moment that a trafficker was roaming around looking for victims. And he got her. Nobody heard tire squeal. Nobody heard screaming. Nobody heard anything. And she just blooped out of existence. You know, it's like when your kid goes missing, you don't leave the home that they know, because what if they come back?
Right.
So now if she returns, let's say she fell and hit her head and has, I don't know, short-term amnesia or whatever, like, They're not there. She doesn't know where to find them. She doesn't have anything on her. I don't understand. I don't understand how this woman disappeared from her home. The last person to have seen her, to have interacted with her, which was a fight, is barely looked at. Listen, I came home one night. Everybody was asleep. I was coming home from a trip. And as I came in the front door, I leaned on the basement door. Like, I was just trying to get my bearings with all my bags. And the basement door was open.
Oh, my gosh.
And I could have so easily tumbled down the concrete steps and broken my neck. And my husband would have been the first suspect.
Yeah.
You know, like they would have been like, you pushed her down the stairs. And it would have been very hard for him to prove otherwise.
I need to know what these police did to look into and clear him or not consider him a person of interest.
When the police began investigating Bianca's disappearance, her husband Daniel was the first person they questioned. At first, he appeared cooperative, even agreeing to take a polygraph test. But after hiring a lawyer, Daniel refused the test, closing off one potential avenue for answers. Then, only 2 weeks after Bianca vanished, Daniel leased out their family home, packed up, and left San Antonio with the children. Then came a discovery that would deepen the mystery surrounding Bianca's last night. Her cell phone, a crucial piece of evidence that could have revealed her movements or last contacts, had apparently never left Daniel's possession. But as weeks turned into months, the case slipped further into uncertainty. Investigators scoured databases, finding no trace of activity from Bianca's social security number, driver's license, or credit cards. She hadn't tried to renew her nursing license. There was no sign of her anywhere, leaving law enforcement with few options and the family with more questions than answers.
Back after a short break.
Hey, listeners, if you have a tip or theories about a case you want to share, or a case of interest you'd like to recommend to us, then we want to hear from you. Email us, cases@tenderfoot.tv. DM us on Instagram @UAVweekly, or give us a call at 770-545-6411. You can also join the conversation on our Discord at discord.gg/upandvanished. Now, back to the show.
So I want to ask you, what is the most likely thing that you think happened?
Even if she did run away, like, you can't disappear. You can't disappear. Like, people would have seen her, people... Even if she had fallen and hit her head and had amnesia, like, she would have ended up in a hospital or a clinic or a shelter or a gas station or something.
Well, as we know, it's just very difficult to disappear yourself. And it is even more like the circumstances become even more unlikely when you have three children, when you are in constant contact with your family. Like, this is a woman who loved her family and would not just run away. What do you think it is that has prevented the police from making an arrest?
They haven't even made him a person of interest. So we haven't even gotten that step closer to an arrest. They haven't, as far as we know, they haven't properly investigated him. Mm-hmm.
Do we know if he ever sat down for an interview? Do we know anything about how they looked into him?
They had a conversation with him. But it seems to me like he told them what he told everybody. We had a fight and she walked out of the house with everything. I mean, I don't know what they did to process the car, his car. I don't know what they did to talk to the foreman at the oil site. That seems like the most obvious.
Just check the alibi. Just check what he was doing, where he was.
Unless Giovanna is wrong and he did have a job that night. He might have. Maybe they called him last minute and they were like, hey, so-and-so called out. Can you make it? Can you make it today? And he was like, shit, my wife just walked out, but we need the money. And he put his 4-year-old in the car and drove 5 hours for an 8-hour shift or whatever it is. somebody at the job site should either be able to say, no, he wasn't here, or yes, he was here, and his four-year-old was with him, which we thought was weird because people don't usually bring their four-year-old kid to an oil drill.
So, Daisy, if the listeners want to find you, which I'm sure they will, and listen to Strange and Unexplained, how do they find you?
Well, Strange and Unexplained drops every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. You can find early and ad-free episodes at Grab Bag Collab if you're somebody who hates ads. My advice is don't complain to the podcast hosts that you hate the ads. Just go ahead and support them on Patreon. We don't like ads either, but we have to keep a roof over our heads.
Yes, exactly.
And you can find me on Instagram these days. I'm a little bit quiet, but it's just Daisy Egan. And that's sort of the two main places.
Awesome, Daisy. I appreciate you talking with me about this very undercovered case.
Yeah, thank you for letting me talk about it.
In May 2024, the nonprofit Season of Justice funded billboards in the San Antonio area to put Bianca's face and her disappearance front and center in her community. There are so many questions about her final moments, how she may have been feeling, and what decisions she may have made. If it's true she had no intent on reconciling and was moving on, it's possible she decided to start a new life. But based on what we know about her from those close to her, it doesn't seem likely she would leave behind her kids and all of her belongings, never to make contact again. Bianca's sister, Giovanna, spoke to CBS Antonio at a 2024 outreach event for Bianca.
I was the big sister. I was going to protect my little sister. And that's what I'm here to do, to still continue to speak out for her and not let this go. I'm never going to stop fighting for her. I'm going to post again and again and again until someone comes forward and gives the truth so that we can find my sister.
The investigation performed in the wake of her disappearance has left many scratching their heads. As far as we know, Bianca and Daniel's house was never searched, and it's unclear what the extent of the searches and forensic testing may have been done to the car. There were two people close to Bianca, and as far as we know, neither have been named as a person of interest at any point. In fact, nobody has. After moving to Odessa with the children, Daniel Carrasco's attorney, Joseph Holscher, released a statement saying,
"The Carrasco family is deeply grateful for the kind thoughts and prayers of so many people as they continue trying to adjust to their new lives. Daniel and the children remain hopeful for Bianca's safe return."
At the time of her disappearance, Bianca Carrasco was 5'1" tall, 125 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. She has a tattoo of the letter B on her right hip. It's believed she was wearing a blue jean jacket, multicolored leggings, wedge shoes, and carrying a pink Prada purse and black Prada wallet. If you have any information about Bianca Carrasco's disappearance, please contact the San Antonio Missing Persons Unit at 210-207-7660. Y'all, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Up and Vanish Weekly. Be sure to tune in next week as we dig into another new case. Until next time.
Up and Vanish Weekly is a production of Tenderfoot TV in association with Odyssey. Your hosts are Maggie Freeling and myself, Payne Lindsay. The show is written by Maggie Freeling, myself, and John Street. Executive producers are Donald Albright and myself. Lead producer is John Street. Additional production by Meredith Stedman and Mike Rooney. Research for the series by Jamie Albright, Celicia Stanton, and Carolyn Talmadge. Edit and mix by Dylan Harrington and Sean Nerney. Supervising producer is Tracy Kaplan. Artwork by Byron McCoy. Original music by Makeup and Vanity Set. Special thanks to Oren Rosenbaum and the team at UTA, Beck Media and Marketing, and the Nord Group. For more podcasts like Up and Vanish Weekly, search Tenderfoot TV on your favorite podcast app or visit us at tenderfoot.tv. Thanks for listening.